Erlem Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And I tell you what, we are really lucky right now. We have got Jessica King. She is an all-star, well-travelled, high-level female footballer. Loving to get her views on all things female football. She's also a bit of a red, and I'm sure very excited. Potentially, it looks like Liverpool are inexorably heading towards their first Premier League trophy, and as well as all of that, she's also one of the newest ambassadors for the wonderful Kickoff at Three, who everybody listening to Verulam Sport knows we are massively supporting all the awesome work. So to tell us all about this exciting journey, the new connection to Kickoff at Three, we're honoured and privileged to be joined now by Jessica King. Good evening, Jess. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Hey, do you know what? I've got to tell you, I'm loving the weather. I know it's a crazy world right now and it's all a bit weird and challenging, but when the sun shines, I've got a smile on my face. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, to be honest.
Excellent stuff. Well, just so much exciting stuff to talk to you about. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
I want to learn a little bit about your career as a player. Still going strong for Lewis, I think, or Lewis. Born and raised in Liverpool. Tell me how exciting and how much of an honour for you was it to wear the red for Liverpool? You represented them from 8 through to 18. Talk to me about that from your perspective as a fan and as a proud Liverpoolian.
Yeah, I mean, I loved every minute of it. And I think, you know, anyone who has such a dedication to a team would feel honoured to represent their club. So it was definitely something that I valued and I always will.
And you know what? Goodness me, talk about living the dream, though. My goodness me. And you were there, and you actually made young debuts. I think you were one of the youngest players. I mean, was that challenging for you to play with real, fully grown women and seasoned pros who know all the tricks? What were the challenges in that early stages of your career there?
Yeah, I think, you know what? I was really excited to be there, even though I was so young, because I know the first team manager at the time come and picked maybe, I think it was two of us to come and train with the first team. So obviously I knew that was like a big deal. And I was just excited to have that opportunity and, you know, learn from the older players, get shouted at by the coach when I wasn't good enough, you know, and I think it definitely gave me confidence and, you know, I could see firsthand how they trained, how they carried themselves. And, you know, I think it did have a positive impact on me.
Absolutely, I can only imagine. And goodness me, you do find out about yourself and your character when you're thrust in at the deep end, don't you? And it must have been, again, such an eye-opening moment in your young life, because, again, whilst it's an honour, living the dream and all that, you obviously are under pressure. That must have been a really phenomenal experience for you at such a young age.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was under pressure sometimes. You know, if I got it wrong, they'd be like, no, do it again, and everyone's looking at you. But I think, you know, it makes you better when you're pushed like that. You know, it does make you better. And, you know, they just kept giving me a chance. So even though I did probably mess up more than I can remember, they kept letting me come back and, you know, kept developing me. So I was grateful for that. And, yeah, I enjoyed the pressure, I guess. So.
Do you know what? That is one of the emblems of some great sports people I've been lucky to talk to over the years. Because, I don't care what you do, whether it's sports or whether you're doing anything, there's pressure. Pressure is just a part of life. And the people who love what they do and rise to the very top like you have achieved, they just love that pressure, don't they? It seems to either make or break us, does it?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone has a bit of a different take on it. But I think when when I enjoy pressure the most is when I feel the most prepared. You know, when I know I've been working hard away from training, and or if I've been training well, and there's pressure, then, you know, I feel like I can carry that very well. But obviously some days you're not having the best day, and, you know, that's when it gets really challenging, I think. But, you know, I do enjoy it. And when you finally succeed under the pressure, then I think that is such a cool moment.
And I guess it fills you with confidence because you're aware, although having gone through that pressure cooker, that you can go through another pressure cooker. It's just going to be a different form. The experience, that confidence it must instill, is incredible. I think, Jess, yeah, it strikes me, you are a young woman who loves a challenge. One of the things, just looking at your career, that I really appreciate, and I want to drill into it a little bit, is the fact that you have been open to exploring different footballing cultures all over the world. After Liverpool, moving to Vancouver in Canada on a footballing scholarship. How did that come about? And what did that achieve in you in terms of broadening horizons?
Yeah, I think honestly that was the best decision that I ever made, is going out there. You know, it's kind of at a crossroads in my life, whereas am I going to go this way or am I going to try and see what's out there and, you know, what I could be. And I was looking in the US and in Canada, and, you know, it worked out that I ended up going to Vancouver, and I wasn't really scared or anything, because I just thought this is such a cool opportunity. But obviously, you know, there are challenges, and it was very different football-wise. The culture was very different, going from Liverpool then to like a very wealthy part of the world. But I think, you know, seeing a different lifestyle, different scenery, different job opportunities, and a different attitude to life, you know, I think it definitely boosted me and inspired me to kind of push for more than what I ever thought life could be, really.
And again, that's so powerful that you experience and you put back in and you gain as well, broadening horizons and getting a new perspective. I think there could well be an interesting change in the future here in England about players doing precisely that. I look at young lads from Dortmund, Sano, getting it done at England level now. And I do think there is a need, because sometimes people say, oh, there's too many foreigners in the Premier League. Well, you'll be fine, but then go find opportunities and broaden those horizons and get that first team football. I think you there have paved the way. Would you certainly advocate, if an opportunity came up, to learn a different culture, to ply a different trade in a foreign land, that would be something that you think would be a positive, maybe for more people to consider?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, you learn so many things about yourself that you didn't even know was there, because you're just put in such unique situations. You have to learn how to communicate differently.
Yeah.
And everywhere I've been, the football is different. And then also, when I went to Switzerland, that was the first time of being in a country that English wasn't the first language. And I didn't really think about it until I landed in the airport and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then some of my teammates couldn't speak English. My coach couldn't speak English. So, you know, there's just so many things that you're learning and you're overcoming every day. And I learned to speak German. I mean, I'm not like completely fluent, but I could get by. And, you know, that was also cool and something that I would never have done otherwise.
I think that's phenomenal. And the journey continues. Goodness me, a bit of a globetrotter. Yeah. Taking in Germany, US Virginia, I think also in Norway, and now back to the UK at Lewis. Have there been, on all that odyssey, this footballing odyssey that you've enjoyed, any standout moments or any particular timings where you thought that was amazing?
Yeah, I think there's been like a lot of positives from every situation. I think playing for FC Basel, you know, it's a very big club, and I love the city. I love just everything about, you know, being there and in the facilities and the environment, and learning German. And obviously that first experience of having to be in a foreign country with a foreign language, it's so unique and it does change you. So I think that's definitely something. And I met some incredible people there. And then Germany, obviously playing in that league, in the Bundesliga, against some of the best players in the world. And then in Norway, again, it was a different style, but it was such a beautiful place. The people were awesome, and it kind of had a community feel as well at the club. And yeah, so I think, you know, there's not one thing that I could pinpoint, because I learned something different at every place. And obviously it had its own challenges as well.
Sure thing.
That's just natural in life, so.
And I'll tell you what I love about that, though. It's just the appreciation of the diversity. And I know that that's something that's very close to your heart. And I know, obviously, again, that connects and resonates with everything that Kickoff at Three are all about. It's one of the reasons that we truly love supporting everything that Michael and Ashley and a whole array of other people do there. Just tell us briefly, how did you get involved with Kickoff at Three?
Yeah, Michael just reached out to me, kind of telling me a little bit about what they're about. And I actually know his brother from Vancouver. So he kind of just said, look, my brother's doing this. And, you know, would you be interested? And, you know, we talked and decided to kind of continue forward. And I think, you know, we have a responsibility to give back. And I just think of all the fortunate opportunities that I've had in my life that I would never have dreamed of as a kid. You know, I was always ambitious, but I never would have thought. I've played in 6 countries, I've learned a new language, I've got a degree for free. Like, you know, and I think being a positive voice for somebody else, or an arm around somebody to say, come on, you can do it too, whatever is in your head or in your heart, you can do it too. I think that's just a massive thing, and I know that there being that positive voice in the community, and I think, you know, I wanted to be a part of that.
I love your appreciation, your humility for your opportunities that you've seized and maximised, because what Kickoff at Three provide for loads of different things, whether it's Kickoff at Three, Spinoff at Three, we'll chat Runoff at Three in a minute, whether it's sports, art. It is basically just to provide that opportunity for so many who perhaps, through circumstances not of their choosing, often lack these kind of prospects, or at least imagine that they lack them. So that is what we love here at Realm Sports about Kickoff at Three. I guess just generally, though, as well as the great work as an ambassador for Kickoff at Three and through all of your experiences, what are your hopes in terms of the great and improving, ever-improving women's football world having in terms of its embracing of diversity?
Yeah, you know, I think the women's game has come on so much, especially in the last 10 years. But I think there's definitely a massive gap, so to speak, in the diversity, especially in the WSL and the Championship. Mm-hmm. Also within the coaching staff. And, you know, I think there isn't one answer to how this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can't just find people and throw them in a team. And
there's not a magic wand, is there, unfortunately?
So I think, you know, it has to be maybe from grassroots and then the academies. Mm-hmm. How do we keep players in these situations so that they can then go on to the, you know, Championship and then WSL, or, you know, have those, even just to have the ambition to do that. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of female role models, period, now. You know, there's access to social media and seeing so many women doing cool things. And I think, you know, that's why it was also important to me, because I know that I'm one of the few. And I think it does need to be addressed, but how that is going to happen, I don't know. Because like I said, there isn't one answer. And I think the best thing that I know how is just to encourage people and to kind of share what I've done and hope that other people can push on too.
And what that is, again, it's an ambassadorial perspective. And it's a role model, isn't it? Because when you don't have that role model, and whatever it is, then you almost just default into the assumption, well, it's not for me. This stuff doesn't belong to us, or whatever it might be. So I guess, again, without having a magic wand, it is actually rather magical what you're doing in that regard, and have massive, massive admiration for you. And again, you mentioned, I think it's a vital point, the increased awareness of the women's game in general, and we hope with role models like you, this will in time filtered down into a more of a diverse picture. But I mean, for goodness sake, if you'd have said to me 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that there'd be 20 odd million people, eyeballs, watching England women versus USA women in the World Cup final, I probably would have looked at you like you were a little bit of a madman, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that, to me, speaks volumes. There has been great strides made in a relative short span.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, it has changed. And I think our job is to just push it forward more. You know, I think even just any female player is pushing the game forward just by, you know, everything they've been through individually, you know, to get to where they are. And I think it'll keep moving forward as long as we keep pushing for it and, you know, demanding that we do deserve more and we are willing to put in the work to make it better. I think it's so cool to see the response to the Women's World Cup and, you know, how people's attitudes have changed and that they're willing to go and watch the women and, like, truly support them. You know what I mean? And I think it has changed. When you look at it from that perspective, it has. And I think there's a lot further to go. But that's just part of the journey. And I think, you know, we all, if everyone's working together for the same outcome, I think it will continue to push on.
I think momentum's a powerful thing, and it's certainly loaded strongly now into women's football, women's sport in general, which is a really, really positive thing. I'm going to just ask you one question here, slightly advocating the devil, because literally last week, the team at Verum Sports were debating the importance of women's sports and equality, and this is something personally I massively advocate, and the whole team does too. I just made one kind of, again, slightly devilish point, which is that in the World Cup, the all-conquering USA team, and their culture of women's football is literally, I think, at grassroots, it is probably their biggest participation sport. So they've got that love and they've got those role models. And, you know, they are pushing the bar. But I don't know if you saw, they were actually beaten. And I don't know the details, how many of their full 11 were in the team. But they were beaten, I think, 5-2 by an under-15 Dallas kind of men's outfit, if that makes sense. So I was saying, well, maybe, yeah, the progress is there, and that's awesome. You want and strive for equality. But does that result perhaps indicate that in terms of equality, there is still a need to focus in and not rest on laurels and raise the bar ever further?
Yeah, I think this is going to be something that will be debated continuously because, you know, lads are faster than, like, you know, it's biology. It's not like somebody's opinion. But I think the standard has raised because more money has been put into it. And I think it's only going to get better the more money that's put into it. And, you know, the women in the US have had unbelievable success. And to think that they're still being disrespected, it's mind-blowing because it's not like, give us money because we want to be good. Well, they're actually the best in the world several times.
And absolutely.
You know, and I think I'm not surprised that they're upset about it. You know, they've given up their livelihoods and they're putting everything into it every day, stuff that people don't see on social media.
Mm.
They're not getting truly what they need or deserve. And then, you know, knowing that the kids below them are still being disadvantaged because they're a female, even though they've created all this success and acknowledgement worldwide, is like, you know, I think it's an interesting debate, so to speak. And I think they'll keep fighting it until they get what they want.
And they're role models and they're doing their thing, and the bar has been raised. There's no question about it. And I'm optimistic that that bar will go ever, ever higher, because people like you and a whole array of others underneath the grassroots and at the scenes and really are passionately on board. And more importantly, that element of momentum. You talk to people on the street and there is an appetite to watch women's sport in general, women's football in this context. And I think that that is something that is so, so important, because, again, there ain't no magic wand. It is processes. Processes take time, sometimes generations. But as an optimist, I take an awful lot of faith in the progress and the enjoyment from the fan base that is growing and growing and growing. I think we're in a good place, but of course, we want to make it even better, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think we are in a good place, and it's exciting to think what it's going to become, you know, to see just more teams with more opportunity, more funding, more exposure, and I think it'll come.
No doubt about it. It's gathering its own natural momentum, and that is awesome. Again, awesome stuff is always everything associated with Kickoff at Three. We truly love them here on Verulam Sports. I love the work that was done and great videos of that wonderful city of Vancouver from Michael's brother. It blew my mind seeing this that visually from their spin-off at Three project. Just quickly, before we talk about the next spin-off, just remind us, please, of the best website to learn more about Kickoff at Three. And also, I'm just going to pause and say, if you are listening to this, everything that the team at Kickoff at Three do are 100% out of love, zero ego, and 100% voluntary based. So if you're in a position listening to this, want to associate with them in some type of partnership, please get engaged. If you're in a position where you can offer any kind of funding support, not asked for or demanded or indeed expected, but it will help this wonderful work. So what's the best website, please, Jess, to check out Kickoff at Three?
Yeah, it's just kickoff@three.co.uk.
And also, I tell you what, sometimes I'm exhausted just watching Michael Wallace do his thing across social media. He's a genius at tweeting. Again, any other social media ways that we can get involved?
Yeah. Just on Twitter, Instagram, you know, they're active. They're always updating, letting you know who's involved, having people speaking about how they've been involved, videos on the people getting involved at the spin-off at Three. So just kind of build the sense of community with what's going on, really.
Absolutely. I urge everybody to check out Kickoff at Three, either on the website or across social media. Michael Wallace and team are super busy on social media. They'd love to hear from you. And they are totally inclusive in everything they do. They provide great voluntary opportunities for those who may imagine there are no openings. They will provide them for you. Get involved with Kickoff at Three. And also, we were talking just a moment ago, Jess, about the need not to rest on the laurels, to keep pushing the bar. And goodness me, Michael Wallace and team live and breathe that. And Spin-off at Three has just finished, but we're just around the corner now for the next version of the Kickoff at Three programs. Tell us a little bit more, please.
Yeah, so it's called Runoff at Three, and it's starting on the 4th of July. I'm excited to kind of participate in that and get more involved. Obviously, I kind of came in at the back end, spin-off at Three, so I'm excited to be a bit more involved and, you know, pushing it and seeing how many people get involved. And, you know, donations will start soon, I think, from the 4th of July. People can donate. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Jess, right? And this is me being totally honest. I can't ride a bike. And so, therefore, I chose not to kind of learn. I kind of kept away from Spin-off at Three. But I've got two legs. So I don't think I've got any excuse whatsoever to not be involved with Runoff at Three. And I say this now, and it goes to Michael and team and everybody listening. I will certainly be participating in Runoff at Three and looking forward to that. Independence Day, it kicks off July the 4th. Again, is it Runoff at Three or best to find it through Kickoff at Three, would you say?
You can find everything at Kickoff at Three. But I'm sure it'll be like hashtagging or adding runoff at Three.
Hey, perfect. Well, it's been awesome to talk with you, Jess. Just before I let you go, I'm going to bring this conversation back 360. I know we began by talking about how proud you were to represent Liverpool, how proud you are of that particular aspect of your heritage. It looks to me very much like, barring some unmitigated disaster, that Klopp's men are going to be Premier League champions. That would, of course, be, and you don't need me to tell you, their first Premier League title. Just how excited is the city of Liverpool right about now?
Yeah, I honestly can't wait. I've been waiting for this many times in my lifetime. So, you know, we've got a great team and a great manager. And I think, you know, I can't wait I really can't wait. And despite the everything that's been going on, you know, we've been able to carry on, and hopefully it won't be too long now.
Was it 2 points away? I think, goodness me. So we're talking, I don't know, I think I would imagine maybe somebody might at least have got a few quotes for a few open top the tour buses at this time. But there we go. Jess, for me, it's a bit awesome to talk with you. It really, really has. I know you're going to keep up representing not only Kickoff at Three and all they do, but also everything you do as a great athlete still doing it at Lewis. I'm sure also looking to encourage others to follow your great, great journey. So thank you very much for spending a bit of time with us here on Verum Sport Podcasting. Thanks again.